The compass is what we use to find our way. The compass is what we give to our team so that they can find the way to the place that the whole company is pulling together to go. Welcome to The Critical Path with Mary and Jason, a podcast about business development, company culture, and loving the place you work just a little bit more. This is episode 3. We're going to be talking about compass, code, and strategy.
Compass, code, and strategy. So what did we talk about last week?
So last week, you heard us talk a little bit about mission, vision, values, and you heard me trash on mission, vision, values as boring and vague and not the best tool for wayfinding.
So some people like mission, vision, values. Some people really feel like it does a lot to push their business forward.
That's true, and I think that it is absolutely true that wayfinding is a really personalized thing, and whatever tool works for you is great. But even if you really like mission, vision, values, I think it would be worth giving a listen to Compass, Code, and Strategy and see if that has things to offer that you didn't think of.
So what are the main differences between Compass, Code, and Strategy and mission, vision, values?
Well, I think we'll illustrate that as we start to walk through what Compass, Code, and Strategy is.
But you know, that's what the listeners are after. What's the difference?
Well, they have to listen to the episode.
Well, here we go.
So
strap in.
Jetpack. So one of the problems that I have seen with mission, vision, values in the industry, in any industry, you see it happen a lot, is a company will pay someone to come in and help them determine their mission, vision, values, or sometimes determine a mission, vision, values for them mm-hmm. without even significant input from mm-hmm. the leadership. They'll just say, this is what sells. This is what looks good.
Right.
They have...
I participated in one. It was kind of interesting where they did a 360 review, sent out surveys to all the customers to gather feedback about everyone's perception of the business. Then we proceeded to turn all of those negative perspectives into positive mission, vision, values components without actually doing any of the work. We just put a new sticker on it and pretended that we're that new business.
So people said, you're not very green. You're not very environmentally friendly. Mm-hmm. And we said, okay, we're going to say it's part of our mission and our values that we are environmentally friendly. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the end of that.
And proceeded to do nothing about it. Another one was that we are inconsistent. The experience in working with each individual person inside the business is like working with a completely different business every single time. You never know what you're going to get. So the marketing spin that was put on that was that we are agile, that we are flexible.
Right.
That we're basically just putting a layer of lipstick on it and calling it something good rather than targeting the heart of the problem or the challenge in that situation.
Right. Well, and again, so when you look at that process, you can see that what we're doing is we're taking perceptions and we're putting a face on that, and we're putting that face on our website or on our front door or on our business card. We're not using the mission, vision, values in that case to do anything with the business. It's not a tool. It's a marketing piece. It's like our logo. You know, your logo is important to your business, but if you think about it, you likely don't use your logo to work on your business. Your logo is something you put on your letterhead and it makes you look like you have an identity. I think mission, vision, values is not best used in that way. I think thinking about where we want to go, if we think about who we are and where we want to go, that shouldn't be window dressing. That should be the heart of who we are as a business. That should be a tool that we use every day. Mm-hmm. So something that I told Jason a long time ago is that when you're a small business and you have one owner and maybe he's got a couple of guys working for him, or maybe she has a couple of
gals,
it's easy to fall into the mindset of what I think and what I do is what the business thinks and what the business does. And when you're a 2-3 person operation, that's kind of true. But as you get to be a 10, a 20, a 50 person organization, it's all good and fine that the owner has a set of values or ideas, but what the business as a separate entity does or thinks or is not the same anymore as what the owner does or thinks or is.
The owner still has a huge impact on the business. The owner, if the owner takes a specific action or says a specific thing, it will have a specific impact to the business. However, the amount of impact that that person has is less because there are 50 other people who work there.
Well, and every single time that someone interacts with any representative of that business and the owner isn't in the room and the owner isn't right there, they are still interacting with that business and they're still getting an impression of that business. So, you know, the challenge here is we can dictate every single thing that every single employee should do. And what we're doing there is we're losing our sense of empowerment. We're kind of boxing in our employees, but we're controlling our mission. We're controlling our message. Or we say, you know what? I trust you guys. Figure this out for yourselves. And now what our business is has no consistency because, you know, you will hope that every person you hire is a good representative of our business. But the truth is, if you don't tell them how you want them to represent your business, then everyone is going to hone in on a different concept, a different idea of how to best represent that business.
So an interesting thing about business growth is that when you're a one-person, two-person, three-person operation, the need for mission, vision, values, or a compass code strategy is relatively small. However, you could argue that when you're a 50-person operation, the need for that tool is much, much larger. If you don't have some central core personality or values for the people to follow and live by, at that size, you have a problem. And the exact day and the exact moment when you need that tool to be in place isn't perfectly clear. It's a sliding scale when that happens.
If I have three employees, so again, let's not question our employees. Let's say you have hired all people who are honest and who are trustworthy and who have the best interest of your organization in mind. I have three employees and they're all really good people who really want to represent the company to the best of their ability. One of them focuses on efficiency all the time, getting it done as quickly as possible, getting it done as cheaply as possible. Another one of them is focused on always doing the best job, even if it takes twice as long. They always do the best possible job. Someone else focuses on getting it done fast, getting it done as quickly as they can, even if that means it costs more. Every one of those people is doing their best. They are trying their best to represent our business in what they see as the best way. But because we haven't given them the direction of how our business wants to be represented, they're giving the customer an inconsistent experience, and they're giving the customer an experience that isn't necessarily what I, as the business owner, intend.
So one of the first questions that we have when we meet and work with new businesses is that we'll sit down and we'll have a session with all of the key stakeholders and key folks inside the business operation. And one of the key questions that we ask every single time without fail is, if this business is a ship, where is it going and how are we going to get there? I'm shocked, and not by now, that almost zero people that we've ever worked with can answer that question. I've worked with folks who work in companies that have $50 million in revenue, $80 million in revenue, and the majority of people that I speak with who are key stakeholders in the organization cannot answer the question where this business is going.
So if what we need to do is wayfinding, if what we need to do is find our way, then what we need is a compass. The compass is what we use to find our way. The compass is what we give to our team so that they can find the way to the place that the whole company is pulling together to go.
So if we go back to the ship analogy, if you have 50% of your team rowing in one direction and 50% of your team rowing in random directions, your efficiency to get where you're trying to go is far, far less than if everybody is rowing in the same direction.
Absolutely. So we start our compass statement by defining what we call our company's true north, because a compass is only as good as its ability to point direction. So as a company, if we tell you that you need to come up with your values, you need to come up with 8 to 10 things that you value as a company, that's easy. You can just start listing things.
Integrity.
Integrity, honesty, value, efficiency.
Mm-hmm. Respect.
If you have to pick one concept, then that will tell us a lot about who you are as a company. So if you choose trust as your true north, that doesn't mean that efficiency doesn't matter to you. That doesn't mean that respect doesn't matter to you. That means that trust is the one thing you have chosen over all of those other concepts. And a company that chooses trust is different than a company who chooses efficiency. Mm-hmm. It's a different picture. It's a different company. So it tells us a lot about the company. So in preparing for this episode and in walking through what Compass Code and Strategy really is, Jason and I ran through the exercise of coming up with some fictional companies and coming up with Compass Code and Strategy
for those businesses.
For those businesses. Mm-hmm. So I said, we have a plumbing company. Mm-hmm. A plumbing company.
There are two owners.
Two owners. Get her done, plumbing. And as we started to build out, it was sort of an exercise. It was like a game. And we walked through and said, what do they think? What's important to them?
Well, one owner is very, very folksy. And so the word that he chose was?
Done right.
Done right. Get her done plumbing. What do you want to do? You want to get it done right.
Done right. That was what he liked for True North. The other owner liked laser precision, mm-hmm. which is very much the same idea.
Aren't they saying the same thing?
They're saying the same thing, but those are two very different True North statements.
And those are two different companies.
So what I said to Jason is, I said, well, what if they both like what they like and they don't agree? What can we find that's in the middle? What would be a compromise for these guys? Mm-hmm. And Jason brought a word to the table that I have never even heard, which is?
Skookum.
Skookum. Yeah. So what's skookum for people like me who don't know what it means?
Skookum is actually a Native American word from Pacific Northwest. For those of you in the Pacific Northwest, you probably heard this, especially if you're in the industry. So skookum means just so, means just right, means you did what you intended to do.
So that was the word that we came up with and said, you know what, those owners actually really like that. They like the local, regional
suggestion
relevance, mm-hmm. of that term. So skookum. Mm-hmm. So you can see how it seems very simple to choose one concept as your true north, but which concept you choose and which word you choose to define it actually can say a lot about who your company is, where you're going, what's important to you.
And so for that, whether you're using mission, vision, values, or whether you're using compass, code, and strategy, which is our preference, you should use your true north to answer questions at the lowest levels of the business and all the way up to the highest levels of the business, in your hiring, in your business pursuits, in the decisions that you make on a daily basis, and also for quarterly and annual planning. You should use that true north as your litmus test for, are we on the right track or not?
Well, and the idea is, Jason touched on it when he said at the lowest level and at the highest level, because this would let the person who is at the very bottom of that organization chart face a problem and say, how would this organization want me to solve this problem? How would they want me to answer this question? And your true north statement should give them some guidance as to how to do that. It lets you empower your people to make their own choices, but because they're making their own choices while using the compass you have given them, mm-hmm. you can know that they're going to prioritize what you want them to prioritize.
And the key thing about a compass is that north always points north. It just always points north. You don't have to question that or wonder if you have a broken compass. They always point north, even with the cheapest compass that you possibly have. So it's important that you pick the right true north to guide your way.
It's important that you revisit it over time and understand that hasn't changed. If your true north changes, you should absolutely change your compass statement, change your true north. But it shouldn't be something that changes every year. If you have a compass statement that changes every year, what that tells you is either that you've chosen the wrong compass statement or that you are facing some instability and inconsistency in your direction, because north should generally stay north. So the power of the true north is that it is a single word, it is a single concept. Because any company who has paid for help developing a mission, vision, values, what they would hope is that if you walked in the front door, you grab the first person you see at that organization and you say, what's your mission statement? Mm-hmm. You would hope they could rattle that off. And there are companies that we have worked with and been to where that is true. But by and large, it's not. By and large, they're aware that there is a mission statement. Mm-hmm. They might even be able to kind of give you the gist of it. But mm-hmm. they won't remember word for word what that mission statement is.
They're most certainly not living it every day. I can tell you that.
So when you have a single word, this is much easier, I think, for every single person in the organization to remember and to use. Because again, three sentences that talk about efficiency and value and quality and honor and integrity and respect, and what you're left with is kind of a vague do the right thing kind of message. Whereas one word, efficiency, that's what we're focusing on. Skookum. That's what we're focusing on. Do just the right thing every time. And that doesn't mean the right thing in a vague sense of do the right thing. That means in that particular example for Skookum, it was provide the right service every time so that you don't have to call us out again. Mm-hmm. That's our goal, is to provide the right service every time. That doesn't mean we won't ever make mistakes, but it will direct us on how the company wants us to act. Mm-hmm. So that's the power of that focused single word. However, if there is very much a front-facing element of mission, vision, values, there's an element of that that goes on our website, that goes on our letterhead, that goes on, sometimes we see it on the bottom of every email. And that single word is not necessarily enough for that marketing perspective. So we have added the compass statement on top of that, and the compass statement is really just the window dressing for your true north. So if your true north is Skookum, then that isn't necessarily something you can just drop on your website and everybody just knows what you're talking about. So we build out a statement, and the statement looks like, maybe it looks like a dictionary definition of Skookum that mm-hmm. says a word from the Chinook, mm-hmm. meaning great, ultimate, or just right.
Just right.
And that's what we at Get Her Done strive to give to you, the customer, is Skookum service every time. So that's a marketing statement. That's not a statement we expect everyone to remember or to throw back, but it is a piece that we can kind of, it's a forward-facing piece that we can use. So that's, the compass statement is the window dressing. It's the thing that takes our true north and puts it into a sentence, puts it into a context, puts it into a format that we can kind of put on our front window if we want to.
It's more applicable. You're most certainly not always going to remember the compass statement, but you will remember the true north.
So the true north is really the tool of this element of compass, code, and strategy.
Great.
So we have talked for 20 minutes mm-hmm. just about the system and about the compass. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to wrap this episode with compass. And in episode 4, we'll move on to talking about code. Do you think we'll get code and strategy both into episode 4?
I don't know. There's a lot to fit in.
There's a lot. So we're still getting the hang of how much content fits into one episode. Mm-hmm. So we will keep working on that and figure it out. But if you keep listening, you will learn more about compass, code, and strategy.
Be sure to check out our shiny new website. Our new training calendar is up at arcadetraining.com. arcadetraining.com.
www.arcadetraining.com. Mm-hmm. Or you can look at our main portal website that kind of gives you a little bit of everything we do at www.arcadewayfinding.com. You can find this podcast at www.thecriticalpathwithmaryandjason.com. And you can also find this podcast on the iTunes directory and other places that podcasts are found.
Great. Well, I had a good time. I hope you had a good time.
Also, look for a new thing that will be on our training schedule, Mary's Tech Talks. So these are going to be free sessions, I think, for the first week. Don't hold me to it. It's still in development. But mm-hmm. I think we're going to talk about ransomware. And I think that's something that's a big concern of a lot of business owners right now.
Very timely conversation. A handful of our customers have dealt with ransomware issues in mm-hmm. recent history here.
So we're gonna get together and we're gonna have some coffee and maybe some, I don't know, cupcakes or muffins or something and talk about how you can protect yourself from ransomware and what to do if you find yourself stuck with it.
Great.
And you can kind of meet some other people and check out our space. And that is Mary's Tech Talk. It's a free event. Watch our training calendar. It should be coming up soon.
Okay, stay tuned.
Stay tuned for outtakes.
Jetpack. This is almost like band names.
It is like band names. What are our band names? Savage Dinner Biscuit. Signing out. Actual Everyone.
Actual Everyone is on the it's not the main stage. What is it?
Side stage?
It's not the side stage.
I don't
it's
know.
In the concerts.
I don't go to concerts.